Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. I thank you for being here with us, for joining us on this journey as we celebrate creating and stories. So I say let's get together and tune our imaginations. I'm going to start off with just the way the book starts off. And this is The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane by Kate DiCamillo. And if you don't know this book, you should know this book. And if you don't know the play, you definitely should know the play, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. But I love the way this book opens, and it has a beautiful piece from The Testing Tree, which is a poem by Stanley Kunitz. And it reads, "The heart breaks and breaks and lives by breaking. It is necessary to go through dark and deeper dark and not to turn." And that's just part of the poem, but I think that's pretty beautiful. And then, of course, the story starts with "Once in a House on Egypt Street." And if you're not pulled in right now already, then we are in for a treat. I think this story has so many layers and levels. I couldn't settle on any one thing to center the opening with, because I think about companionship. I think about imagination, of course, because that's what I love to do. I think about the idea of patience. That's certainly something that happens in the journey, and just love, and when we're willing to open our hearts, what happens? There's just a plethora of great things that happened in this book, which is something interesting about the book too, because you can read it, I think, again and again, and each time you read it, you might pick up on something just a little bit different, because it touches on so many themes that are universal, and it is, I think it's become a classic. I'm not sure how you qualify as becoming a classic in literature. It was first published in 2006 by Kate DiCamillo, and here we are 16 years later, and it has a couple of new lives, and so I'm really excited today. So we're going to open up the mics. We've got a big crowd. I want to make sure we have lots of time to talk about what's happening at the Northfield High School. They are going to be doing a production of The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane. That opens up on Friday, November 4th, and runs for 2 weekends. We're going to go ahead and give you those details in a little bit, but it is a play based on this book. And Edward Tulane is, of course, if you don't know him, I'm going to introduce you that he is an expensive toy rabbit, of course, and he is made of china. And he's loved by a little girl named Abilene, but Edward doesn't care. He is vain and self-centered. On an ocean voyage, Edward is accidentally thrown overboard and sinks to the bottom of the sea. So begins his journey, a journey over which he has no control, for he is a toy rabbit. And this is a play. It's an intimate storytelling piece, a theatrical tour de force for its ensemble of actors and musicians. So we're going to welcome those actors and musicians to the Art Zany Radio Studio. Welcome. It's such a thrill to have you. And that little clip that I read was from the Entertainment Guide, so I want to give them a plug, because they are a great resource for finding all things in about what's happening in our community. And I believe their website is entertainmentguidemn.com, but I should have looked that up before, but you can search that. That's a great resource to Rob Shanilek and his friends down at All By All Means Graphics. So let's have everybody introduce themselves. We'll start on this end.
And hi, I'm Bob.
It's nice to meet you, Bob. Yep. And Bob, this is the first time, I think, the first time you've been in the studio since you've been I don't even think I want to say retired, because here you are doing a, directing
then,
a play.
Then don't say it. <It's>
okay. With a new schedule. With a new schedule.
Yeah, yeah. There we go.
And how for folks that don't know, Bob used to be at Arcadia as the, what was the title?
The arts coordinator.
There you go. And you've since retired, but not,
I have.
Not retired from all things theater.
I haven't. Not yet.
How are your days going?
My days are full.
That's what I hear from everybody.
Well, I don't feel like I'm experiencing retirement yet, and I won't dwell on this, but I think there are three people here in the studio who will agree with me. Doing a show is all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're still in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my days are full.
Well, that's a good thing, right? Who wants to just, not do anything?
Right.
You've got to have adventures and wonderful things happen. And let's go ahead and have everybody introduce themselves. I'll have you pull the mics maybe a little down towards you and speak straight on to them. And we'll tell us a little bit about yourself, school, things that you love to do, experiences with theater. Anything you want to tell us about pets or any special friends? And just let our listeners learn a little bit about you.
I'm Taya. I play Pellegrina, and I've been doing theater since I was about in second grade, I think.
Was that with the Young People's Theater?
I did it with my school mostly. And then as I got into middle school, I started doing more community theater. And then I actually transferred to Northfield a year ago, and Bob so graciously let me audition for the play that was already casted. Oh. And I got
so graciously.
So graciously.
And it was our gain.
And ever since then, I've done every show at Northfield, so it's a lot of fun.
Oh, congrats. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And so I think this is your first time on the radio. So
it is.
I'm thrilled to have you. I feel like, and you're a senior.
Yes,
so,
I am.
So, whew, I got lucky. I got to meet you before you took off into the world.
Yeah.
So thank you for being here.
Yeah, of course.
And next.
My name's Alyssa Schwartz. I am a senior at Northfield High School. I've been doing theater since sixth grade with Bob because I went to Arcadia for middle school. So going on 7 years now, it's been really fun. I got to take his theater classes, which has really helped me grow as an actress. I've been in almost every show at the high school since sophomore year, besides the fall show that year. It's been really fun, and I've got to meet a lot of cool people. Besides theater, I don't do a ton. I have a job. I work at James Gang.
Yay! Little shout out for them.
yeah, and it's really fun there.
Well, welcome. I think this might be your first visit as well. So thank you. I'm so glad that I got to. And are you a senior? Thank you for bringing them in here.
Getting them in before they leave.
That's right. I love it. And next.
And my name is Kiara Artley. I'm also a senior, which is super fun. And I also work at James Gang, so that's really cool. I get to work with Alyssa.
That's fabulous.
I know, right? Let's see. I think my first production at Northfield High School actually was when I was in fifth grade. I was in the 2015 fall production of Pippin.
I
played this small little boy named Theo, which actually I got a lot of people to mistake me for a boy because I had a real short haircut. So I was a girl, but I look like a boy. It was cute. But so then I did theater all throughout middle school. And then, interesting fact, I moved to Iowa in my freshman year of high school. So I was down there for 2 years, all throughout COVID for his parents' job reasons and stuff. But I didn't get to do NHS productions because I was in Iowa. But I moved back the same year Taya moved back. Mm-hmm. The coincidences keep coming. And so I was in The Mystery of Edwin Drood last year. I played Edwin Drood. And then we did, all three of us did the spring production of Hay Fever last year. And now we're all three back together again in The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane.
Oh, fabulous. And I'm so glad you're back because you did come in for Edwin Drood, which I saw and loved. I thought that was just a phenomenal show. Just the talent you have is just always a thrill for me to be able to.
It's a good group.
It is. So tell me, did any of you know Edward Tulane before you signed up for this production? Was it a book that you had read? 2006. I'm not sure how that would have fit into your, because I think it's generally considered a young reader book.
Well, I'll start. Actually, this gives me a chance to give a shout out to Tanya Legvold.
Yay, Tanya! Okay, we got a lot of shout outs today.
Tanya, who directs theater at Cannon Falls. Also works here in town at the Co-op, and also costumes Rock and Roll Revival.
Mm-hmm.
And last spring, Tanya said, "You know, I did this show at Cannon Falls. You should look at it." And that was The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane. I knew Kate DiCamillo, and I love her stuff.
Yes, big fan.
I didn't know this particular book, though. Mm-hmm. And I read it, and I went, yeah, this will work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can't help but fall in love with Edward.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful storytelling piece, and we could talk more about that later.
Absolutely. Yeah. Was it a book that you read as a kid? I'm trying to think how old you would have been in 2006.
Well, I was 1 year old.
Okay, so...
Okay, then.
That was the math question. That was supposed to go to Taya. It was something that... I know my daughter loves this book, too, so I can't wait to take her to the play and see. And so those opening lines from the book really do a good job of giving us the description of Edward Tulane, the China rabbit who lives in the house on Egypt Street with a girl named Abilene. And it just even those opening words just automatically tumble you into this amazing imaginative story. You just know right away.
Hey, Paula.
Yeah.
Can we underline the word imaginative?
Oh.
Because this production hinges. Shows always do. But it hinges on the use of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be taking this show to the elementary schools in town.
How exciting.
Third, fourth, and fifth graders will see this production from all the elementaries. But we're going to do it at two sites, and groups are going to come. But what I haven't told you guys this, but well, one of the first things I want to do is say, folks, it's time to use your imagination and warm them up a little bit, because, as I said, this is really a storytelling piece. This is not a piece for big, lovely sets. This is not a piece for an opera for us, even though Minnesota Opera just did it. This is a storytelling piece, and I have... it's 15, add the instrumentalists, 18 storytellers on stage to tell this story. And the audience will need to and be invited to imagine with
us. That's probably why I love it so much,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I think one thing I was thinking about, because I was unaware it was a play until you told me about that.
It's an adaptation.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And so what are the guidelines when you get the script about how you create Edward Tulane? Do they have rules about what you can do and how you can embody this China doll rabbit?
Yes. So this is one of those places where I'm thinking, okay, how much do we tell them?
I told you he would say that. We talked about that.
How much do we tell them about this? Someone first of all, describe Edward Tulane in this play.
The character, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you guys want
to? They're all jumping in.
Edward Tulane. You imagine this rabbit. He's from a Paris doll maker. He's super, like, all fine and proper. You'd imagine him with a British accent, except he doesn't. But it's that kind of, like, snootiness. And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm so gorgeous.
So he's a rabbit, and you said from a doll maker.
Yes.
So he's a doll. Edward Tulane is a doll.
With a China...
China doll, yeah.
But then he has movable arms and legs, but only if somebody does move them for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's one thing that we got a little confused about, like, at the beginning. Everyone was like, is he fully made of China? I think it's mainly his face is made of China.
And
so, like... And then, like, he might be stuffed, or I don't know what they imagined, but I think it's mainly his face made of China, because I don't know how he'd survive for, 20 years if he was all made of China.
I'll tell our larger audience this. We actually rented dolls from the Kentucky or the Lexington Children's Theater in Kentucky, who had done this production. And there are five, they sent us five different versions of the doll.
Oh.
Because of all the costume changes.
That's true. He does.
He has.
And he goes on this adventure, right? Mm-hmm. The journey.
Yes. So we will be, okay, I guess I've given another way. We'll be using a doll in the production.
Okay. Surprise.
Yeah. Uh-huh. How will we use it is the question.
Yeah, I would imagine, because that's one of the things that you know, the story is really about, is where mm-hmm. he goes and what happens to him.
Yeah.
Each of you have a role in the play, so let's talk about what you are, and then we'll and maybe add what are the other elements of the play. So let's start with you, Taya.
So I play Pellegrina, who is Abilene's grandmother. I originally give the doll to Abilene, and have a very complicated relationship with the two. She's a very interesting character. She's not a lot like me, which has been odd to play. But she cares a lot about her granddaughter.
Yeah, I find it interesting that she's the one who sees Edward like Abilene sees Edward. And so when the family's around, she's the one who then will engage with mm-hmm. Edward. But she's...
Right.
You know, she has a different relationship.
Yes. Very definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I believe the term you're using now is salty.
Oh.
Would that be a way to describe it?
That's one word to describe it, yeah.
Okay.
And you get to tell the story the grandmother tells in the book,
yes.
which is very memorable and, you know, a piece that carries greatly through the whole entire book, which
yes.
is, and I don't want to give that away because that story is so meaningful. So how did you embody that and then think about what is it like to, you know, deal with, you have to imagine what their family dynamics are like and how the grandmother fits in and how she feels about all this.
Right. Well, I would say the hard thing is Pellegrina really only interacts with a few characters, and they're all very different. And the story itself, figuring out how, without revealing anything, how to play different parts and bring different characters alive within the story and still be a very old grandmother who's a little bitter at times, has been very interesting, but my cast has been very supportive, and my director has been so kind and worked with me, even outside of rehearsals. But I just think the biggest thing was figuring out the dynamics between each character, because it's so vastly different the way she interacts with people.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see how you play her and to hear that story told on stage.
Paula, I'll add this. The majority of our actors play multiple characters. So just to throw that out there, too. And again, this adds to that storytelling aspect.
Mm-hmm. Right, because Edward goes all over mm-hmm. and we follow him.
Yeah, and the ensemble is really important in this production, the entire group. In fact, I said to you guys, I think maybe a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, when I started out, I didn't realize how important the ensemble is in this. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
When I direct, sometimes I like to discover things as I direct. You know, there are some directors who want to have everything buttoned down, you know, their first day rehearsal. That ain't me.
That's good, right? Because then the actor,
I love
you all
it.
You
know,
do
it's
it
great
together.
Fun. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A, yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Makes,
yeah.
makes the play part of theater
mm-hmm.
come out.
Yeah.
So, Alyssa, tell us about what is your role in the production.
So, on the note of people playing two characters, I play Nellie and Sarah Ruth. Nellie is the fisherman's wife, and she actually receives the rabbit from the fisherman. And then Sarah Ruth is a little... a little girl who's sick, who receives the rabbit from her brother. They're two very different characters,
mm-hmm.
and it's been really fun exploring them and trying to figure it out and, like, trying to... Because Sarah Ruth's, like, a really young girl, so it's been really fun to try and, like, play younger. And then Nellie's not necessarily old, but she's not young, so it's been really fun to, like, figure out the differences and the similarities between them, too. And just, like, the different connections they, like... have with the doll, because they're both very intense connections and very different but so similar in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is. And so that is one of the things the book does, is it takes us on the places that Edward goes as he meets all of his new people. I'll say, yeah. just say that. And so you get to play two of those people. And it's really, I just love the way this story is crafted in how, you know, he is transferred from those different situations. Right.
Yeah.
It's really sad sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking as a person watching and trying to, you know, think about, you're cheering, right, for him to be able to find people again.
Yeah, that word sad is important.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe, you know, particularly right now, that's important for people to know. One of the principals, actually Sam Richardson at Greenvale Park, described the story as powerful.
Mm.
And I think that's true also.
Right, exactly. It does pull you along and tug at your heartstrings.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
As you go. And you have an important role. So tell us how you are part of this production of The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane.
Okay, hi, it's Kiara again, in case, I don't know, you don't recognize my voice. But I play the traveler, which, because this was originally a book, you know, you like have this narration. It's a book narration. It's, I think, in third person. So that's why you get this narration. So like transferring it, adapting it into a play is sometimes difficult because you don't get all those outside perspectives that the viewer is going to be looking at all the characters and you see this happening, and plays are usually mostly dialogue and stuff. So I think it's really interesting that the adapter of this production, he chose to keep a narrator, and so that's my role. And it's also been interesting. I've never really played a narrator role before, so it's been very exciting. It's been challenging, but I'm super pleased that Bob has trusted me with this important job, and it's been a very big learning experience for me. But it's interesting because I actually stay on stage for basically the whole show. So I'm both watching the show as well as moving along with the show and seeing what everyone does, and I get caught up in the magic of the show just like the audience. But I only leave stage twice, I think, throughout the whole thing. So that's been very interesting. But it's been really exciting getting to see like my fellow castmates and how they've just like developed over the weeks. Both Alyssa and Taya are just so talented. And I really enjoy watching the story that you mentioned before that Taya tells. She's worked so hard on that story and she just nails it down. And Alyssa just shows her two characters so amazing. They have such contrast.
Yeah, it is. It's and so I'm curious, in the book, we are kind of in Edward's head a lot. And so is the narrator portraying Edward's thoughts, or is it more of a generalized over, you know, kind of bringing us along on the journey narrator, sort of a, what's the word? All encompassing, you know, knowing the whole world and kind of playing between the audience and the characters on stage. Omniscient? Is that the word?
Omniscient? Yeah, yeah. I think so. Rock on. Yeah.
Good job.
Well, don't worry, Bob. I won't tell too much. But so I personally.
Okay, good.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I personally don't handle Edward's thoughts that much. That's not my department. But I do explain some of his emotions sometimes. I'm like, oh, that hurt Edward or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's more like you're saying, an omniscient point of view, that I explain what's happening to the rabbit and what the rabbit is going to do next. And I explain like I'm kind of like explaining the seed changes as well as the like the internal turmoil that the characters are feeling that the other characters don't know about. So yeah, I guess omniscient. Well done, yeah. Paul.
Well, yeah, and that is essential, I think, to some storytelling.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, excuse me, the person who adapted this, and now I'm spacing his name.
Dwayne Hartford. It's right here on the poster
yeah,
you
I knew
brought
that.
Me.
I knew that.
Which folks should look around town for this. It's an absolutely just precious, I don't know, I really enjoy this poster. It's of a... hugging the rabbit.
It was designed by someone named Taya.
You did a beautiful job. Oh my goodness. Is this your artwork?
No, actually,
Bob sent me an email with this image and asked me if I could incorporate it into the poster, and I did quite a bit of research on the legal side of that, if that was okay, and it was, and it just, the poster created itself, really. I did very little. That picture really guided it.
It is. It's what it says so much about what having a, you know, a critter, an animal, a loved one. With some for some kids, it's a blanket. Sometimes it's a doll. Sometimes it's a, you know, a teddy bear, and it just says so much, that hug right there.
You know, while we're going in this direction, I have a question for you, Paula. Would Kate DiCamillo's books be usually classified as young adult?
Probably young reader.
Okay.
Although, you know, she does, you know, go into topics that are, you know, probably older end of young reader.
And she, as I said, she does in this story.
Mm-hmm.
And when those topics are embodied, not just read but embodied by actors on stage, there's a power that's added to them. You know that. The reason I'm asking is because when I think of this show and think of some of the conversations you've had, I wonder if some audience members right now are going, yeah, okay, so this is, you know, for kids.
Oh, good point to bring out.
That's why I'm throwing it at you.
No, I think that it has universal stories.
Exactly.
And I think sometimes what she's able to do is touch on themes that our kids want to know about. And it's the adults who are afraid to let the kids, you know, into some of these topics. Mm-hmm. And she does it with such, you know, skill just her ability to step into that place of, I think I've seen interviews with her where she's like, I'm just, you know, a kid myself. You know, mm-hmm. She never really got out of that imaginary stage, and it's an easy place for her to enter that storytelling voice. And so I think that that's what a great book does.
Yeah.
And then it expands beyond the actual, you know, the audience, and it becomes something that, you know, grandma reads to a grandchild, and then they mm-hmm. both love it, and then it
right.
becomes something that a kid revisits again when they want to connect with those feelings mm-hmm. and figure out, oh yeah, that's what Edward did. Okay.
Yeah. I know a lot of adults who love Kate DiCamillo.
Exactly.
Yeah. And for those who don't, what titles would we identify that they may go, oh, that's who it is.
Well,
The Tale of Despero,
mm-hmm.
okay.
and Because of Winn-Dixie.
Those are some of the most
okay.
popular,
right.
yes. And then she has The Tiger Rising as well. The Magician's Elephant is a newer one, I think. Flora and Ulysses.
Mm-hmm.
And one I haven't read, Raimi Nightingale, I think, is one of her.
Okay.
And almost all of those have either been honored or awarded you know, Newbery Medals and National Book Awards
yeah,
and
yeah.
bestsellers. They're just magical. So if this is a new author for you, you are in for a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see this in a play, and I want to tell people where that's going to be and when.
Oh, good.
So they can get tickets.
Yes.
And it is The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane, directed by Bob Gregory Bjorklund, at the Northfield High School Auditorium. And performances begin Friday the 4th of November, run for 2 weekends, first Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30, and then Sunday at 2. But the following
yes.
weekend, there's an exception.
There is.
Because you move to a Thursday night, the 10th of November, and then it's Saturday and Sunday, taking November 11th, Veterans Day, off.
Right. So we will not do a performance on Veterans Day. So if you think of the first weekend, it's Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday matinee. If you think of the second weekend, it's Thursday, Saturday, and then Sunday matinee.
Great. So folks should
yeah.
know that. And tickets
yeah.
are extraordinarily reasonable. Adults, $7. Seniors and students, $5. Probably you can get them at the door. Is that the easiest?
Yes.
Or is there an
mm-hmm.
online
nope,
option?
That's
nope.
the easiest.
That's the easiest.
That's the easiest.
So, and we should tell people, too, it's not, we're not lingering in that sad in the story.
Oh, no,
it's
no, no,
actually
no, no.
It's delightful in a lot of ways. So let's talk about that and the way that the story develops and what people, is this a musical?
It is not, but thanks for asking.
Okay, because
it's a
you'd usually
play.
Do a fall musical.
Yeah, well, this is a non-musical. In theater terms, we call it a straight show. However, it does have musical underscoring and musical accompaniment to the script. And we rented that music, and we have a group of three very capable instrumentalists, don't we?
They're all nodding. You can't see that on the
radio. And if people in town know any of these kids, you'll say, oh, yeah, they know what they're doing. Cricket Mooring is playing violin.
A beautiful musician.
Yep. And Sam Nelson is playing guitar.
Okay, now you sold me.
There you go. Uh-huh.
There's more.
And Grace Ryden is playing cello and doing a little singing.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
fabulous.
It's just a sweet little ensemble.
And so that's a great accompaniment, as sort of, I suppose, it acts in essence as a counterpart to the narration, to kind of complete the stories, move us along. Would that be fair?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's been interesting too. When we started out, we've been mostly rehearsing without the musicians. Musicians have been rehearsing separately from us, which is a little different than a musical. We just start right into the music. So it's almost been a little bit uncomfortable adding the music back in sometimes, because, it's a lot louder than silence. So you have to talk over this music that is accenting your story so well, but it's showing you parts of it that you didn't realize were there before. And I mean, I know we keep going back to Taya's story that she tells, but honestly, my favorite part of like the musicians is them like helping her tell the story through their music. They've got like little sound effects and stuff, and it's cool. Like you can see just what you can do with an instrument. It's not just straight playing. It's like using the instrument in different ways. So it's very cool.
That's we should talk a little bit about that Minnesota Opera production, because people may have heard about that. Mm-hmm. And this is not that.
No, it's not. And I bet there are a few people out there who saw that production.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a chance to see it.
Oh, you did?
I did.
I did.
I saw one of their final dress rehearsals. And it's very interesting to be working with material and then see a very different direction of it. I was hoping to be able to bring my whole cast up to see the performance.
Field trip
didn't work out, unfortunately, but in retrospect I'm kind of glad I didn't, because I don't want them to think, oh, this is how this needs to be done. But it's so different as an opera.
And I think that speaks to the universality of the show, is that you can, and the way that you can, each time you see it, you can bring out something different. And so the opera probably brings out elements that are, you know, highlighted in song that are, you know, maybe just a part of the story in the narration that's just slightly a different telling.
It is. And here's where I'm going to make a pitch for our show.
Okay.
All right. This story is such an intimate story. I don't know opera well. I'll just put that out there. But opera by its nature to me is big.
That is a true...
Is big.
I saw some clips online of the opera and I thought, that's big.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought.
Our show is, we're striving for the intimacy piece.
Mm.
Originally I wanted to do this show actually with the audience on stage with us.
Oh.
And we started to block it, didn't we? And we discovered we don't have enough room to do it this way. We can't do it. And so we'll be using the auditorium as it is with the audience where they usually are. But then my idea shifted to bringing the production to them. To the audience, if we can't bring the audience to the production, to the story, can we bring the story to them? So there are times when we are with the audience as much as we can be, in an effort to foster that intimacy, that let's sit down and tell you a story and. Let's you sit down and listen to it with us.
That is a great invitation. I think that's what I think we're craving that now.
Yeah.
How has that been to be back in the theater and working on a production, and especially this production? What is it? Is it, you know, this story, does it tell you something about the world, or have you been reflecting on what it means to be able to come together and put the story together? Oh, this is going to jump in. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll speak to that. So it's been really nice to be back in person, like really in person, without masks, without anything, just because it is such an intimate show, and we have to get so close as a cast to be able to tell such an intimate show. And like when I was a sophomore, we did Clue, but it was all online, and it was just gross. Like, it was a good production. It was good, but it wasn't like we weren't ever together until like the end. We had a bonfire, but it's been so nice to have, like, to be together and to be able to tell this show together, and like just be able to be intimate with each other. It's just been really nice.
Mm-hmm. And what are you reflecting on in the story of Edward Tulane? And have you had conversations as a cast about what to highlight in the story, or what the book meant after you read it, and the play, and how you can make those things come alive on the stage? Taya's going to jump in.
So not only have we had conversations as a cast specifically about some of the deeper storylines and the harder things to tell as especially teenage actors, how do we portray these bigger topics? But also on and off stage, we discuss the play. I can think of about a million times during lunch where we're just sitting like, wow, that was really interesting how this person did this thing. And, well, I don't want to give anything away.
How she responded to that. gosh.
But I think something at least I, and I know a few of my friends, have been reflecting on is people come from all different backgrounds. I think everyone in the cast can relate to one storyline, you know, in some way or another. And it really gives you a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice to see our characters grow and the storylines grow, but also see us grow as people and as a community. So it's been really nice.
That's a great way to say it. Were you going to jump in, Kiara?
I think adding on to that, it's been interesting just from, even from like the actor's side of things. One, growing with your characters, similar to The Mystery of Edwin Drood last year, that had many people playing multiple roles. We're doing that again this year, which is really great for developing our just ourselves as actors. And getting to experience and trying out these different roles. And even though we are coming out of COVID, like we're seeing the light of day again, which is great. We still are getting sick though, and we have been missing quite a few of our cast members on and off. I know I was sick for about a week, a couple weeks ago. And in that, we're still we've been doing actually a marvelous job of people just stepping up and stepping into each other's roles. And so we're not only playing our own roles, but seeing what our castmates are doing and playing their roles as best as we can too. And I'm not sure if we've mentioned this actually yet, but Alyssa is our assistant director.
Oh, yeah. You didn't. Bravo. So tell us about that experience and working with
I'll
Bob.
I'll be curious to hear this.
Bob approached me in the summer, I think, about it. And he was like, hey, you want to be the assistant director? And I was like, Bob, I have a job.
Okay.
But we worked it out, and I was happy with the opportunity, and I really wanted to step into it. So my sister is my manager, so it's easy to figure things out with work. So I got the opportunity, and it's been so much fun. Because when people are sick, I'm normally the one who has to read for them. So I've been able to read a lot of roles.
But you've also done organizational work.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of things.
Yeah, I've gotten to do a lot, and I've gotten to step into just this really fun role and be able to I'm trying to find the right word. Be a leader, I guess, for the cast, and just be able to I get to delegate things. It's fun to boss people. It's fun to boss people around.
Yeah, but you got a good way about it.
She's so nice.
You do.
But it's been really fun, and I just love it because I got to spend more time with Bob. I mean, I've known him since sixth grade. It's going to be hard once this show is over, so it's been really fun to be able to do it.
Well, we sometimes joke that she's the understudy for Edward Tulane because she's read his lines enough for the cast. And we're like, yeah, you know. Like,
yeah.
If he, like, yeah, ends up in some terrible accident, heaven forbid, we don't hope that, but if he ever does, we have a feeling that Alyssa might be the culprit.
I do not have it out for Isaac, guys.
Well, and I think that what a great experience to be able to have that opportunity to take a look at a play through the eyes of a director and have the, you know, know what's going on and how to manage all that.
Well, it can be tricky to be an assistant director or to be a stage manager when you're working with your peers.
Mm.
That can be tricky, can it?
Yeah.
And you've handled that really, really well. And the cast has handled it really well. It's worked.
Well, thank you for giving them that opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's pretty great. And this, again, the Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane is happening at the Northfield High School. It's at the auditorium. Mark your calendars. That's, you know, two weekends. You can go to it more than one time.
Sure.
it's a story for everybody. So it does. It's not. It's definitely not just for kids. It's for all ages. So we want to encourage everybody in the community to take somebody they love to this play. And
do you have a minute for some shout outs?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because I want to make sure. So this show depends on the cast, the actors, also the costumer, Helen Dillon.
Another shout out. We just, what an amazing talent, and someone who's often behind the scenes and doesn't get the visibility, but her, every show she does, she just comes up with things and costumes in such a way that brings it to life.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it without some of her ideas. So.
Yep. Another really important aspect of this show is the lighting.
Mm.
And these guys have just started to get to experience that. And Liam Fisher is our auditorium tech, and he's working directly with Maggie Muth, a student, and Ethan Coudron, also a student.
And they're very good at that because they've been to other plays that they've done.
Yeah, and so would you agree that lighting is a really important part of this show?
We do concur.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Which will be interesting then, again, going back when we take it to the elementary schools.
Yes.
And it'll be all on you, the storyteller actors, not the lighting.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. One more shout out. Sherry Setchell.
Woo!
Yeah. Sherry, who... we had to have at least a little bit of Sherry in this show, didn't we?
So true.
Is there some movement then happening?
There's a little bit of choreography at the beginning and at the end. A little light choreography, movement, kind of greeting, welcome. Here we go. And then we start the show.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And
did I miss anyone?
I think.
I hope not. Okay.
There's probably, yeah.
There are. Ren Becker, our stage manager, a student also. So we have it's not a large cast, but I intentionally really asked the cast members to be handling your own props, managing your own costumes, all of those things. I prefer for cast members to be the ones responsible for these as opposed to a stage manager or a props manager. That they do that, and you are.
Yeah,
so
that's
working.
That's what I love about doing this show is I learn about all those different things that go on behind the scenes, and to give all, you can't do a play without all those elements coming together to be that one show.
Well, you know, you can. Think about it.
What
does
twist.
A storyteller need to tell a story?
Well, imagination.
Okay.
Is this a quiz?
No, I'm just saying you can, but the other things make it all so much more fun.
Well, sure.
And give it so much more dimension.
Right.
Yeah.
It does. As a theater audience member, it certainly you want to have all of those elements there. They make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But because, you know, we don't want to be just doing something in our own little basement. putting on a production. And so, yeah, I think this is something that I'm very excited. Once you told me about this was coming, I've been waiting and waiting to see it. And I also want to mention to people, if they don't already know, that Northfield is going to be really lucky because Kate DiCamillo is in fact coming to Northfield for at Content Bookstore on during Winter Walk, December 8th, which will be after this production is done. There's a specific way they're going to manage the crowds. So you want to check out Content Bookstore.
Are you hearing that, you guys? Because I would guess the cast is going to be sitting waiting.
Yeah, and so you want to check out contentbookstore.com and get the details about how they're managing the, I guess you'd call them tickets to being able to have a moment with Kate. But I wanted to ask this cast if they were able to have a question for Kate DiCamillo. What might that be about either... you know, the miraculous journey of Edward Tulane or the story. What you look like you're ready to jump. She's got her question. Jump on, Tia.
Well, first I'd say hi. And I say thank you for making such amazing books. But I would definitely ask her if she thought, specifically with this book and many of her others, if she thought it would touch so many people's stories. And so many people hold these books near and dear to their hearts. And, you know, did she think that was going to happen, or was it just a miraculous journey?
Oh, she might say that.
Wow,
she
might.
Any thoughts, Alyssa?
I think I would fumble over my words a lot.
I get that.
But I would want to ask either, like, where she came up with the story, because it's, I don't know how you would think of a China rabbit.
Well, yeah, there's a little clue in the book, which I thought was interesting, because she dedicates a book to Jane Resch Thomas, who I believe is either a poet or writer up in, I'd have to look that up. But she said, who gave me the rabbit and told me his name.
Oh, okay.
So I want to ask her about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I'd want to ask her about my character, Nelly. I don't want to give anything away, so I can't really say. But
the fisherman's wife. Yes.
I'd want to ask about, like, just, like, her character and just some of her sadnesses.
That's true, because it's not a lot revealed in the story, but you get that from her actions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I Kara? Think if I met Kate DiCamillo, I'd also say hi. Just first off, I mean, I wouldn't just start and be like, "Okay, so," but that'd be interesting though. But it's interesting because on like a super side note here that like Bob had been having us look up certain things about this production, and I seem to remember at one point when we were doing all these Google searches and our learning and stuff. That somebody came across the story of that woman that you just mentioned who gave the rabbit to Kate DiCamillo, and I think it was for Christmas or something that she received this China rabbit. And it was just kind of an odd gift. Like, I think she liked it, but it was just a very fine rabbit, and I think she had a dream one night about this rabbit just getting tossed overboard and falling in the ocean, and I think she said that's just how the story... Are you not remembering this, Alyssa?
No, what I'm remembering is that I literally searched that up. Like, how did I not remember that?
Well, see, I thought it was you, but I wasn't going to say that. God. So I think that's a really interesting thing, and my question would actually be a little bit more on that is comparing just her writing style. The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane is very similar in style, I think, to her other books, like The Tale of Despero and Because of Winn-Dixie, which I've read both of those. And it's very much, she operates in long spans of time. There's a lot of books that just, you know, you have an adventure and it's over in about 3 days, or you save the world in a week. Or, but this book, on the back of it, it legit says that the rabbit, over the span of 20 years, finds love. I mean, 20 years is a long time to write a book about. And I think it's really interesting, too, that she like, breezes over, like years worth of time. Like, my character specifically, one of my most often repeated lines is years passed. Like, we don't know what happened to those years other than the general emotion that she's trying to convey. So I'd be super curious to see what made her choose those emotions and those specific details to tell of the story, because she decided to, like, skip over other parts that she deemed not as important. And it's super, she does it so well, and it's such a subtle art that I don't know how she takes that much of material and packs it down.
That's, yeah, those are great questions. I hope she's listening. Maybe she'll she's get in touch hello. With you. Yeah, shout out to Kate. Well, folks, this has been fabulous. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I knew it was going to be a great one because of the material you're dealing with, and I'm so excited that Northfield is bringing this production. One of the things I've been thinking about is just how this story now as a play and as an opera is bringing Edward Tulane's into the world, you know, all across maybe the world, maybe just not our country. And there are so many more Edward Tulane's in the world, and it makes me feel like maybe there's something great that'll happen because of that. I think it's a beautiful story. So please join us at the theater for this production.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. This is Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. I thank you so much. I want to thank my guests today, Bob Gregory Bjorklund, Kiara Artley, Tia Lear, sorry about that, and Alyssa Schwartz for joining me. I've got one quick shout-out. The Living Treasure Award is still available if you're able to nominate somebody for that. The deadline has been extended, so we're looking for folks to nominate someone who has, over a long period of time, made significant contributions to Northfield in, through, or on behalf of the arts and culture so as to enhance the reputation of the city and the quality of life of its residents and visitors. You can get more details about how to nominate someone and the forms to fill out at the City of Northfield website. Just search Living Treasure, and there's a page. There's a little bit about last year's award and a list of our past winners and all of the criteria that you need. So I want to extend the opportunity for you to do that, because I think we have lots of living treasures in this community. We just need to have somebody nominate them so we can tell their story. Folks, you've been listening, and I hope that you always take time to enjoy your imagination. In the meantime, till next time, go see a play.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372.